Please listen carefully.
Hey everyone, welcome to Across the Connor Radio. I'm your host, Chris Puentes. This week we have Nast Whitson. I got to meet Nast at the BirthFit Coaches Seminar that I went up to at CrossFit Soar in Hawthorne, New Jersey. And her husband is a co-owner of CrossFit Soar. She's a CrossFit coach there. She's also a running coach and is regional director for BirthFit and was one of the seminar instructors that weekend. Last week we had Lindsay Matthews on the show, Dr. Lindsay Matthews, who is the founder of BirthFit. This week is Nast Whitson, and I had a plan of talking primarily about fitness with her because of her background running and being on the track team at a very high level and going through the Olympic development program. But we kind of took a different turn, a different spin with this interview, and talked a lot about mindset, which is one of the four pillars for BirthFit. Talk a lot about Nast's background and how she went from a very high-level athlete to being on a track to go to med school and then realizing that it wasn't for her, so then going into fashion and ending up coaching. So we talk about her background a lot. We talk about a number of books that she recommends, and I feel like we probably could have made a whole podcast about that. And then we talk a lot about this idea of being present and being mindful of time and of people's time. So this isn't an episode that I thought it would be, but I'm really happy with how it came out because it deals with more than just BirthFit. It deals with issues that we all face in terms of how do we handle this time that we have, this non-renewable resource, and how do we be more present. So I think you're going to really enjoy this. For those of you who are in the Philadelphia area and are interested in learning more about BirthFit, we're going to be hosting a BirthFit Basics workshop at CrossFitCona. This is going to be on December 3rd from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. And Nast will be down here. Like I said, she's a regional director, and she'll be running the workshop and going over the four pillars of BirthFit: fitness, nutrition, chiropractic, and mindset. So for any of you who are interested in learning more about BirthFit, whether you are a prenatal or postpartum mama or a coach that works with pregnant women or postpartum women and want to learn more about it, feel free to get in touch with us. You can find our event on Facebook if you just search CrossFitCona BirthFit Basics Workshop. And if you have any questions, you can always email us at info@crossacana.com. With all that said, go ahead and enjoy this episode with BirthFit Regional Director Nast Whitson.
That's cool. And you said you've been to a lot of weddings, huh?
Yeah, I would say we've been to five in about 8 or 9 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah. And they're all people that are very close to us. So we had my brother, my sister, cousin, and two best friends.
Wow.
Yeah. A week ago, right now, we were in Colorado for one of the weddings. So, the wedding was on a Monday night, and we left Tuesday to come back to New Jersey, arrived Tuesday night. Wednesday, family showed up from Boston, and we all drove to Virginia together. So,
gotcha.
Yeah. So it's been fun.
Oh, was the, I mean, not that I know her, but I saw pictures of you guys. Was the Colorado one Andrea?
Yes. Yeah. It was Andrea and Peter.
Yeah.
And, oh my goodness, it was beautiful. It was, have you been to Colorado?
I have not. That is a place that is definitely on the domestic bucket list. Yeah.
I think you guys, I mean, just from, you know, talking to you, I just feel like you would totally enjoy something like that. Just, I think anyone would. Mm-hmm. The scenery, it was in Estes Park, okay. Not too far from the Rocky Mountains. Yeah. And it snowed. So the day before, the wedding, it was like 60 degrees. We all went hiking, and then it snowed the day of, which, you know, at first it is a little bit of an inconvenience, but honestly, everything was just covered in white and it was beautiful. It was absolutely breathtaking out there. I'm more of a beach warm kind of person. Right. So, going into cold mountains is not my cup of tea, but I just love it there. I like the atmosphere. I like that you get away from the city life a little bit, and it's gorgeous. So, yeah, I think you would totally love it.
Yeah,
it's a nice family trip place too.
I'm sure I would. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've been to all these weddings, and there's probably people that you like meet for the first time at these weddings, right? Mm-hmm. So how do you introduce yourself to these people?
Hello, my name is Ness. I'm from New Jersey. Where are you from? I get made fun of because I will say hello to everybody, like all the time. I don't know, maybe that's my personality, but just very inclusive, especially in crowds. I used to be very shy, so it's just nice to reach out to people and say, hi, my name is, I'm from here. So anytime you say New Jersey though, people are like, oh,
you're from New Jersey. I can say that because I'm from New Jersey. Yes.
Yeah. You know, you know, they're like, oh, New York, New Jersey. And we usually end up talking about like pizza or something Italian or food, or how we are very blunt and upfront people. So, you know, I'm sure you do the same thing. How would you introduce yourself? Like, what do you say?
Well, similar to you, I'm a transplant though. So I grew up in New Jersey, but now I say I'm from outside Philadelphia. So it's still pretty new to say that I own a CrossFit gym. When that does come up, cause we've only been open for 5 months, but it's a cool thing to say. And it's something I've been dreaming about for a while, but,
awesome.
Is that something that you lead with? Like, how would you identify yourself besides Nest from New Jersey?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. I used to just start off with like introducing myself with what I do, and I recently stopped doing that. You know, I don't want to define myself by what I do per se. You know, I just say, it really depends on where the conversation's going, but I typically ask a lot of questions to the other person. And sometimes it comes back to me, sometimes it does not. but I'm really big on breaking down walls and just, developing a relationship and developing that trust. So that usually doesn't involve me at all. Occasionally, you know, what will happen is I'll have a friend mention like, hey, you know, she works with moms, or hey, you know, she and her husband own and run a gym in New Jersey. And that's typically where it goes. But yeah, I don't really ever lead in with, hey, I'm Nass from New Jersey. I own a CrossFit gym. I run BirthFit New Jersey, stuff like that. It just comes up organically. It comes up if it needs to. And what's really cool is that BirthFit is starting to spread. So some people are like, oh yeah, I totally heard about that. Or they'll come up, you know, whenever, maybe the next day or something, or send a private message like, hey, I heard you do this. Can I ask you some questions? And that seems to be the way things have been going lately, which is really cool. You know, you just get out there and you just get to know people and what they're about, and develop trust. And they start asking you, I guess. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Totally. Well, if someone did, because, you know, the circles that you run with, especially if you were out in Colorado, I imagine a bunch of those folks were CrossFitters or knew of the CrossFit world, right? And so more likely knew about BirthFit or heard about it versus, let's say, like your sister's wedding, right? Or your brother's wedding. So if someone who doesn't know what BirthFit is, if their reaction is like, what is that, right? What would you?
Yeah, great. So that's a great question. For sure, in Colorado, it's actually still really cool and surprising when people are like, hey, yeah, I totally heard of BirthFit. And I'm like, yes, this is great. It is spreading. I love that just as much as someone saying like, no, I've never heard of that. Like, what is it? What do you do? I guess you could come up with a quick elevator speech and, you know, it depends on who I'm talking to, where I'm at, their personality. But I could say something like, yeah, I work with moms and we believe in four pillars, you know, fitness is one of them, chiropractic, mindset, and nutrition are the others. And I like to say it's a holistic approach to all things birth. That's kind of like my lead in, my tagline. You know, really what I do is I provide education and information for moms, and we connect moms. I think that's really important too. I like to use that word connection.
How did you get involved with BirthFit in the first place?
A few years ago, one of our members approached us. She's a good friend of mine. Her name is Jessica. And she pretty much just said, hey, I'm pregnant. What do I do? Mm-hmm. I was like, what? You know, at the time, we had a fairly young gym.
Right.
And, you know, a ton of young single people all like running around trying to figure out their lives. Yeah. And, our friend Jess is, you know, one of the few married women here. And so when she approached us, I was like, oh my goodness, we're adulting now, you know, this is real life. But, I actually didn't really have much to say to her. I said, you know, I'm really not sure what to tell you. I told my husband and the two of us were like, you know, I don't know.
Don't hurt yourself. Why don't
you ask? Yeah. Well, we said, why don't you ask your doctor?
Right.
So as is the case with many women, you know, she went back to her doctor, who is very old school and traditional, does not believe that, basically pregnancy and fitness go in the same sentence. So he suggested that she not do very much activity. I know that we're moving forward in society and that things are progressing. We're in modern day and age, but I can't tell you how many women receive that advice to this day and age. And granted, there are certain circumstances where perhaps they shouldn't be doing certain movements or fitness, but we all still have to breathe, right? We still have to work our
diaphragm. We're still moving and carrying stuff.
We're still moving just to live, right? Yeah. It's just functional movement. So Jess also happened to be someone who loves to work out, like loves to work out, needs to move, needs to just get into the gym. She just felt great about herself when she did move. And so convincing her not to move based on her doctor's recommendations was really challenging. She had a couple of things developed from that. And, you know, she would share the story if she was here, but in terms of like her mood and her attitude and just her energy levels all began to drop. She didn't feel great about herself. And just, you know, a lot of like physical, emotional, even spiritual things started to happen as a consequence of not moving. And I just really, you know, Jess has an Ecuadorian background and I appreciate her mom stepping in and saying, hey, you know, in our culture, basically said something along the lines, like our people, we move, you know, we are in the mountains. We grew up just moving. And even if it's just for a walk. So it was great that she listened to that advice and, she decided to take it. And so she started moving, she started walking, and then on her own accord decided to come back into the gym. When she did that, I realized that, hey, we don't really have a lot of resources. We need to do some research. We need to find resources for moms because, you know, just thinking down the line, like you know, you own a gym now. So just thinking down the line for your members, I'm like, well, she's the first, but she certainly won't be the last woman to come into our gym, who's pregnant or wants to become pregnant. And so we started looking around, we went to the internet and we found a couple things in Long Island, New York. We found something in the Boston area. We found, I think something in Pennsylvania actually, but it was basically like, so I mentioned we have four pillars. We basically found one pillar. So someone who was doing maybe two pillars at the most. So someone who is doing like nutrition and fitness, mm-hmm. right? But they weren't practicing chiropractic and mindset, or someone who was doing chiropractic work with moms, but none of the other pillars, right. Or someone who would do, you know, mindset and nutrition or whatever it was, but not one person had all four of those corners, four foundational pillars that we believed were really important. After some research and just reading and reaching out to certain doctors, Jess actually came across a blog. And that blog was by Dr. Lindsay Matthews out of Los Angeles, California. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, through just different connections, we found out that 2 weeks from that day that we started researching, there was one birth representative coming to Hoboken, New Jersey, believe it or not. That seminar happened to be sold out. And I was like, nope, it's not sold out because I need to go to it. You need to let me in.
I need to get myself in there.
I was like, I'm going to be pushy. And it was great. They let me in. I said, I have to get into this class. and I'm bringing my husband with me. And they were so gracious. They were great. So they let us in. And
wait, was it Lindsay who was teaching it? Or was it?
No, it was another woman at the time. And, you know, she was just teaching the course, someone who was connected with Lindsay. And I'm so grateful that they decided to spread that knowledge. And this was the very first one, I believe, anything of its sort on the East Coast in a CrossFit gym is really unheard of. And there weren't a ton of us in there, but I remember being in there and just being like, why isn't anyone sharing this information? We need this on the East Coast. And granted, this was just a workshop. This wasn't anything permanent. Right. So after the seminar, I was stoked out of my mind. And I reached back out to Lindsay Matthews. And I was like, you know, the creator and CEO of BirthFit in Los Angeles. And I said, hey, I need to meet you. I need to bring this to the East Coast. Like, I need this to be here. You know, just, it can't be the only person that has this issue of like fitness and pregnancy and not knowing where to go. And the most important part too, like not knowing who to talk to, like not having a community or a tribe, you know, that's a whole nother topic, but a really important topic, you know, that a lot of women isolate themselves and think, hey, I'm independent. I need to do this on my own, but it's okay to ask for help. I think we need to during that time frame.
Well, talk about that more, because I think that's something that isn't brought up. I think there's a lot of topics that aren't brought up that need
to
be. But yeah, talk about that a little more. How you've seen that? You know, or before this, we were talking about how someone will reach out to you via email and talk about their own coaches or their own situations that because they don't live close to you, or maybe they even do, but they know that you know you're a regional director for BirthFit. Yeah, talk about tribe, the need for tribe, all that good stuff.
Yeah. So I guess in talking about tribe, I should probably mention, you know, CrossFit as well. We're in a lot of CrossFit gyms, not exclusive to just CrossFit gyms, but they do a really great job with community, right? And community is just like such a big foundation. And what's cool is that BirthFit has a very similar foundation, and we like to call this our tribe. So amongst the regional directors, we are a tribe, and I think that's really important because we are in each other's lives, we get to know each other, and we share information, and that is huge. The information we share amongst each other, we share with the world, right? And so we share anything from like just sharing love and sometimes just sending thoughts and prayers to each other. Sometimes it's actual, a lot of times it's actually research or books or resources. Today, right before this podcast, I was on the phone with a mama who, she is 7 weeks postpartum. And this is the first conversation she had with someone outside of her OBGYN. And that to me was a little bit crazy. I said, oh my goodness, you haven't talked to anybody. Like, how are you feeling? How are you doing? What was the birth like? And she was just like, I just can't believe, like, this is my first time talking about all of these emotions, these feelings. And there's a lot of questions that she had. And I said, you know, what's great is I don't have all the answers, but I have some friends who do, but I could be a friend. Right. So I think first and foremost is, you know, we're looking for a friend. We're looking for friends. We're looking for support. And that tribe I have seen is so important. You know, I have a Dominican background. I was born in Dominican Republic. And so those roots are really important. The, you know, Caribbean, there's some African in there. There's Middle Eastern in there from my father's side. And one thing I've noticed about those cultures is they are very much like, hey, yes, let's make sure that baby is okay, but let's support mom as well. What are mom's needs? You know, there's different books out there. You know, we talk about the 40-day postpartum period, and people have written great books about it. But what I've learned is that that's just a part of our culture. We don't even like call it what it is because it's just ingrained. You know, women just show up, and they show up with amazing food. We have so much great food called sancocho and mangu. And these are all warm foods that people bring to your house in our culture. And it's like a giant stew with a ton of proteins and meats and vegetables in there. And they just show up at random times and cook for you. They clean for you. And sometimes just having someone being there, I've learned, just show up. You know, here, hold baby. I just need to shower. or I didn't have time to go to the grocery store. Or to be honest with you, Nast, I'm afraid to go out. I'm afraid to go to the grocery store. Things like that. It's just, you know, on my way home from work, just stopping by and picking up some goods. One thing I personally have noticed is that I can't be all things to all people. So developing that tribe and allowing other people to step in and help has been great. So we've established a private Facebook group within our gym, you know, and it's for moms. And we reach out to each other like, hey, how are you doing? You know, how it's been 4 weeks. I haven't heard from you or seen you. Like, what do you need? You know, and not necessarily putting it out there so everyone can see all your issues. It's really just to say, hey, I'm thinking about you. Like, what's going on? What are some of your needs? Even if, let's just go for a walk together. Let's get you outside. Let's get you moving. Things like that. So, yeah, that's one thing. When I came into BirthFit, I didn't realize how important that was. It's important for moms, non-moms. It's important for fathers too, for families. You know, we really, as cliche as it sounds, we really do need each other.
Yeah. Did you, what drew you to BirthFit to want to be so involved? You know, there's probably a lot of things in your life that you could have dove deep into, and I'm sure you have dove deep into other things as well. But what was it about this movement that kind of spoke to you?
That is a great question. I don't know if I've been asked that too much. I would say I really, I guess I would have to tell you about my background just a little bit for you to understand the big picture.
I would hope so.
Yeah. So I grew up as an athlete, you know, a student athlete, and I've been in athletics most of my life. Being so competitive, I was a runner. Now I'm a running coach, but I was in track and field for a while and post college. You're just very competitive. So when you have women and competition in the same sentence, it doesn't, you know, women don't always mesh. And so the idea of working with women, especially women who are, you know, preconception, prenatal, postpartum, if you had told me that, I don't know, even like 5 years ago, I would have been like, no way. Like, you know, that emoji with the arms crossing. yeah, that's the emoji that I always think of. I definitely would have said no. Okay. But I worked with young, you know, for almost 9 years. I coached high school girls and girls and boys, but mostly focused on the girls. And, you know, I would see their development and saw that, you know, I observed that they sat all day for 8 hours and then they would have to come and do exercise. And there were so many injuries associated with like their pelvis tucked under them and everything was, you know, all that circulation was being shut off. So it was like I had 3 hours to undo all the stuff that they did to themselves during the day. Mm-hmm. And then once, you know, I left that, I wasn't just working with young girls. I worked with adult women and things that they, you know, whether they were into fitness or not, a lot of them were still experiencing pain, whether it was from like old injuries, from posture, from birth. And so I started realizing that really everything goes back to birth, whether it's our own birth or the birth of our children. And so I said, you know what, there's something going on here. I'm not 100% sure what it is, but we need to look back further. We need to address this. And what we're finding is, you know, it's not just the physical realm. There's other things going on as well, emotional, maybe even like spiritual, associated with birth. And once I started looking into that, you know, that really attracted me about BirthFit. I just realized that I don't like to see people in pain. I don't like to see women move in pain. I really enjoy when people move pain-free, and that's probably through my own experiences as well. I was a heptathlete, and for many years, a competitive heptathlete, and heptathlon means 7 events, so you're bound to get injured at some point. So just working with a lot of physical therapists, occupational therapists, chiropractors, massage therapists, that whole realm in therapy was really, you know, when you're going through the pain, you just are like frustrated and you just want to get out of it. But a lot of that pain, I really think, set me up to work with women now. And so it was just so cool meeting like-minded people that are into like continuously growing and researching and talking to each other and not being stagnant. You know, like Lindsay Matthews and Eric Boland, Lindsay Muma, Melissa Hemphill, Embo, you know, these girls are like, you know, we call them the senior leadership team. And it's just so awesome being able to glean from them, you know, confidence and just spread what I call good news, you know, that, hey, you have options. Hey, you have a tribe. Hey, you have other resources here. You don't have to be in pain all the time. You know, let's look into it. Let's do some research, you know, here, let me hold your hand. Let's do it together. Stuff like that. So I think I said a lot there, but that's honestly what attracted me. It's like being part of another team, again, another tribe. And we're not trying to cut each other or undermine each other. We're trying to raise each other up and bring more people into this movement. I don't think you always see that in different groups. You know, people are trying to outdo each other and there's just this like competitive spirit. But I really think cheering each other on, mm-hmm. and especially as a woman, is huge, right? We need a lot more of that.
Yeah, and there's obviously a lot of overlap with the CrossFit world. So they are separate, but there's so much overlap in terms of cheering each other on and working towards the same goal of bettering yourself, but with the support of others.
For sure.
It's a good positive peer pressure versus the negative competition that you can see in traditional sports, right?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
So you went to college as a heptathlete, but what were you studying in college?
So I studied microbiology and psychology, and I loved microbio, all things viruses. And the only problem is I was in the lab a lot. You mm-hmm. know, I know this is really hard for you to believe, Chris, but I was an introvert. I was really shy, and I would prefer not to be around too many people. I was really big into reading, and you know, my parents put me in sports to get me out of that shell. I think part of it was when I first came to this country, I only spoke Spanish, and I didn't know all the colors. I remember like being dragged into first grade, like, no, I don't know how to say brown in English. So things like that, you know, just formed who I was. But being in a lab all the time was challenging. You know, I worked in labs. I interned in labs. I was a TA in labs. And I started taking psychology classes just to get out of labs. Of course, you know, one of my professors found out that I was a researcher and was like, hey, we need you in this lab and in this study. Mm-hmm. So we worked with like the hormone cortisol. And that's when I was exposed to working with people for the first time and just doing different studies on behavior. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll minor in this, or, you know, maybe I'll major in this. I don't know, but it was cool. So I took an internship at a psych ward, and then I realized, you know, this is just not the direction that I want to go. I do not want to be in labs. I think I need to figure out what it is that I want. But, you know, my parents weren't thrilled about that.
They thought you were what, heading to med school?
Yeah. So I was pretty young for my age. I went into school, into college at 17. So they were like, you're going to be the youngest doctor in our family and it'll be great. And, you know, I turned down a full scholarship for a master's program into medical school. And they were not happy about that. I moved to New York City instead.
Sorry, folks. Turned into 180.
I think it worked out though.
So you moved to New York. What did you do in New York?
You're gonna totally laugh at this, but I worked in fashion.
Yeah,
it was like working in a lab, no people.
I mean, that makes complete sense.
Yeah, I worked with the virus. The virus was called SV40, and it's, you know, very sensitive to like UV light. So everything was controlled, you know, from walking into the lab and like making sure all the lights were like, everything was controlled, right? No windows. From working in there to working in fashion with people in New York City, it was crazy. It was a culture shock. It was all the things. And, it was exciting. It was great. I loved it. It taught me a ton about myself. It taught me a lot of people skills. It taught me that I was like overly sensitive. I didn't know how to work with people. You know, it taught me how to problem solve on the fly. I mean, you know, fashion can be very cutthroat, but it was a great lesson for me. And a lot of growing up happened around that time too.
Was that because you were just personally interested in fashion? And so you were like, well, New York is like the mecca for what I want to do.
It was like a secret part. I was, you know, very much from a different cultural background. Right. So growing up with different foods, different fashions, it was really great to just be thrown into this whole world. It was also a challenge. I'm really big into like, oh, well, you're a science head, you can't do this. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'll show you. So it was a challenge, but a fun challenge. And worked for an Italian company, and I became a manager really fast, you know, learned about business and money and running schedules and working with people, like I said. So it was fun. It was hard work. People in New York, you know, they work all the time. Right. So it was very different from growing up in Boston, you know?
Sure.
For sure.
Not that you probably converted to being a Yankees fan, but.
Definitely not.
You did live
nope.
In New York. Yeah.
Red Sox fan through and through.
Right. I had gone to high school in New York City, so I had my taste of New York, but that also let me realize that I did not want to spend any more time there. That I
no,
I had enough time. Visiting is fine.
Are you glad you grew up there though? Or are you like?
Yeah. So I grew up in North Jersey, but I commuted in for high school. So that in of itself was an experience to, you know, have an hour and a half commute each way. Especially playing soccer and getting home really late.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Homework and whatnot. But the experience itself of being in the city was totally worth it. Yeah, absolutely. Just
where'd you go to college?
Down here at Villanova.
Oh, great school.
Yeah.
Such a great school.
So that's, I feel like I might've had the itch to be in a bigger city, if I did not have that experience, but having that, then I was like, all right,
you need to like leave.
Yeah.
I grew up in a very small town where everyone knew each other. It was on the water. So coming into a big city, was like what everyone wanted to do. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. So I up and left everything in about a 2-week time frame, which is crazy for me. Cause like I said, I'm a introvert. I'm a thinker. I think before I act. And this was just like, all right, I'm going to do it. And, when I first moved here, I was like, what was I thinking? But I'm so glad I did it. Really, really happy that I made that decision. I think it's just been the foundation for a lot of other decisions in my life and just being willing to take risks.
Do you feel that switch over from introvert or let's say shy, right? But that switch over, was that from being in the fashion world and needing to like interact with a lot of people, or do you feel like that's been like built up kind of step by step along the way? Because there's a change from what you kept saying that you're an introvert, you're shy,
I don't think that ever leaves. I think that's still a big part of who I am. Mm-hmm. And just being Being an introvert, I think you are just really observant and maybe more sensitive to other people. Not to say that, you know, my husband is a huge extrovert. Not to say that he's not sensitive to people. He's really great at reading people. I think it was a combination of being forced into that situation, being able to, you know, have success in the fashion world. You have to be willing to put yourself out there and speak. Like you have to, you know, almost sell your clothing, you know, better than the next person. Like, why should the person come here? At that time, I happened to have, you know, I was starting to make some new friends, and there was a girl who was very business-minded and very just in terms of like had great people skills. And so I said, you know, I need to work on these things. And she was able to recommend amazing books my way. So I read a lot of business books. I went to a lot of conferences and workshops. I read a ton on relationships, just working with people, because I didn't have those skills. And even to this day, you know, I need to go, you know, I put myself back into books about people. I'm sure you do the same, you know, just running a CrossFit gym is not just like the technicalities, but just working with different personalities, different kinds of people, being able to relate, you know, when you have a type A person versus when you have someone who's like scared to walk into a CrossFit gym, right? It's so much about breaking down walls and building that trust right away. And being able to do that within the first like 30 seconds, I think is huge. That's not something I was born with like at all. That's definitely something I have constantly had to read about and constantly work on. And, you know, if I haven't been in a people skill book or relationship book, within a few months, I notice that about myself, you know, I recognize that, hey, I need to get my mindset right. I need to be better at this. So, you know, it's a combination of reading those books. You know, I'm Christian, so being in the Bible constantly also just keeps my heart right towards people. Yeah.
So what book stands out to you, either as something that you would recommend to practically everybody, or, you know, someone comes to you, they say, you know, someone like you, years ago comes to you and you're like, I want to work on people skills, or, you know, recommend a book to me.
Oh, I love this question because there's so many
good ones.
I could rat off like so many. I would say How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Yeah, Dale Carnegie.
By Carnegie. Yep. The Greatest Miracle, by Og Mandino. Let's see. How I Raised Myself from Failure to Success Through Selling by Frank Betker. Personality Plus by Marita Litauer. The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman.
What's your love language?
You know, I think it's changed. It used to be words of affirmation. I think it's quality time now. Yeah, I definitely think it's quality time. I feel loved when someone just hangs out with me, you know? It could be all the things. It depends on my mood, I guess. If someone writes me a note or brings me a flower or something, you know, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to cherish this note forever. And I don't throw it away for years. My husband's like, you don't even know who it's from. I'm like, I know, but someone took the time to do this. So maybe it's receiving gifts or acts of service. It could be all the things. I really do appreciate people's time, though. When they do something that involves time and myself, my love tank is filled through the roof. So I definitely love those books. I am mindful to tell people, though, I don't like to put people in a box, you know, like, hey, this is your personality, so you're going to be this and you're going to own this. I really try to explain to them like, hey, this is to help you relate to people and to learn more about yourself. So you can relate to more people. It's not meant to put you in a box. It's meant to open up that box, think outside the box, which I think is really cool.
Right.
So,
well, just kind of like how you came out of your proverbial shell, or however you want to say it. Like, I'm sure you've read the book Mindset, but, you know,
yeah, you clearly have a growth mindset. Yeah, I was just thinking about that too.
Where people can grow. that they're not fixed.
Yeah, growth mindset versus fixed mindset.
Yeah.
Huge. I think I've read books with kind of a, you know, a similar, like a lot of John Maxwell and just, you know, I think that's just a part of life. You know, it's not just like owning a business or running a birth fit, you know, regional director. That's just a great way to practice your life, just having that growth mindset and being okay. Like, you know, I guess it's how we define things too, like our world around us. Like, what do you define as failure? You know, failure is good. We need failure. We need feedback. I know that's something that, you know, the CEO of BirthFit, Lindsay, really encourages us to constantly work on. Her fiance, Logan, also is huge on that. And I totally appreciate that because they truly do lead that, you know, from the front. And they allow us, they give us room too. They give us room for growth and room for feedback. I know, you know, my husband is technically my boss. So when he gives me feedback on my coaching, yeah, it's hard, but I know it's, he's being honest with me and it's making me better. Mm-hmm. We need that feedback. I ask for it now. I'm like, okay, I'm glad you enjoyed this and you like this, but I need feedback. Give me feedback. Excuse me. Give me something to work on. You know,
and you haven't done your level 2 yet, right?
No, but I'm actually looking for, I was just talking to Dave. I'm looking for December.
Oh, cool.
As the next one. I was waitlisted for the one here in Jersey City. It's my own fault. I signed up too late. And I had another certification that I wanted to do. But yeah, I'm excited for that.
Cool. Yeah, I just saw an email saying they're going to attach a test to it.
Yes, that's probably why we're all like, oh my gosh, we have to get this done in December. Yeah. But regardless, you know what? The test will make me better. So regardless of whether I have to take the test or not.
You'll be fine.
It'll be all right.
How did you get into CrossFit? We didn't even talk about that.
Great question. I was actually looking for my list of books. I have a whole list of them that I want to look at.
I love it.
Yeah, so I have to be honest, I was really against CrossFit at first.
Well, you were a runner, right?
So. Yes, I was a runner. I'm like, If you see my husband, don't look back there. I'm blocking him if you can't tell with my hands. I was a runner and like I said, a competitive runner. And I mean, we did interval training, Olympic lifts. You know, if you were a high jumper, a pole vaulter, you had to do certain gymnastics type movements, especially in the heptathlon. So it's not like we weren't training or working hard. You know, it was a D1 school. And then I had the opportunity to join an Olympic development team after college. So the access that we got to training was just so awesome. So when CrossFit came around, my husband was looking into it. He had other trainer certificates before then. And this was probably, I guess, like, maybe 8 years ago or so. You know, no one had heard of CrossFit at the time. Not a single person I knew except for my husband, Dave, in our region. And so he got a lot of backlash, a lot of people making fun of it, saying it was too intense, that it would never grow, so on and so forth. So, you know, I wasn't for it, but I also wasn't going to jump on that bandwagon and bash him. I was just going to see where it went and support him. You know, as long as he was into it, I was like, all right, well, I'm not into it, but you can be if you want, you know, just like he wasn't into running at all.
Got it. And, so you two had already met prior to him getting into CrossFit.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Okay. We've known each other. It'll be 16 years,
gotcha.
Next week, you know, dating. So it was, it was just like too intense, which is kind of crazy coming from me, seeing all the intensity around me in fitness, but it was just pride. I had a lot of pride. I had an ego. I thought I knew better until, my sophomore year in college, I injured my lower back. I was in the air doing the long jump event. This was my, 6th out of 7 events. So you're pretty tired at this point. And while I was in the air, my hip basically came out of place. And then I landed in the sand and it got jammed back. So I was hurting. And, you know, most coaches at that time would probably have you stop. Unfortunately, this coach did not because we needed the points. Wow. And
so this is a subluxation?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a lot of things, Chris, to be honest with you. Okay. My physical therapist told me I had so much other stuff going on in from injuries of the past. And I was a hot mess. Let's just put it that way. I can't remember what the diagnosis was called. It was like 3-in-1. Gotcha. So I basically could not walk afterwards. I had to be carried to the van. And, you know, we're athletes. We go all out. I mean, some of us are paid, you know, we're paid to do this. And I was upset with myself that I didn't fend for myself a little bit more. So long story short, I went back to my trainer who actually had me work on a lot of pelvic floor work. She said my pelvis was completely out of place. It was inflamed. It was psoas. It was tightness in my thoracic spine and my hamstrings. It was everything was pulling and I was compensating all over the place. And so I'm just so thankful for this woman, this trainer, Danielle, who I hadn't seen since. I was pretty much in 6 months of rehab, 3 times a week, 6 to 7 a.m. And I'm so thankful that that happened to me because I learned a lot about my core. And the next year I came back so much stronger to the point where even my own teammates were like, hey, you know, we have to step up our game here. And it was just, it was pretty cool. So long story short, I was told that I would always have that issue. So I would always have to work on keeping my core strong. And, when I went to another doctor, some of those issues were coming back because I was starting to sit a lot again after college and just go into, you know, the real workforce, the adult workforce. And so sitting a lot was really making my condition worse. And when I went to a doctor, he basically told me, he's like, you know what? You can never lift again. You can never do fitness again. I was like, what? Wow. Are you crazy? I'm like 24 years old and 25 years old. And I was a little bit depressed. So I just walked and I ran and, you know, I had to put an end to some of my competing days. Around the same time, I started coaching the high school team that I had mentioned to you. And so I kind of put my energy into that, but I still didn't feel great. You know, I was in pain a lot. And my husband was really the first one to tell me like, hey, you know what, if you worked on stabilizing first and then moved, he's like, you have to sit in a car every day. You have to go to the bathroom every day. And at first, of course, I got mad at him because I was like, what do you know? And it just resonated with me. It was just a seed dropped in there. And I started thinking about that. I'm like, you know what? He's right. I have to pick up my purse every day or my bag. I have to walk. I have to, you know, if there was a fire, I'd have to run away from the fire and jump over a wall. But what really got to me is I went to go pick up my niece at the time, who was like a year old. I could barely pick her up. I couldn't even do a push-up. I couldn't even do a pull-up. I was just so weak. And it was not a fun place to be. So that's when I was like, you know what? I'm going to look into this whole CrossFit thing and give it a chance, you know, try it before I knock it. And, I had to heal myself first and I'm still on that healing process. I still have a lot of stability work I need to do and mobility, that I've been working on. I could, you know, after about a year, I could finally get to parallel in my squat again, which was really cool. So I've been getting stronger, but also just healing. So
Dave was your coach for CrossFit?
He was. Yeah. And sort of. Yeah. I had a hard time listening to him, but it was between him and a couple other female coaches, like my friend Kim.
Gotcha. And then how did you guys, is SOAR your first affiliate or did you guys have another place before? I don't know that story.
Oh, great question. So SOAR was our first affiliate. We did not come up with it. Our friend, Steve Kiefer, was the original and still is the owner of CrossFit SOAR. He and my husband are partners now. And Steve is a former Ranger 275. And so SOAR is an ode to the Ranger Battalion. It stands for Special Operations Airborne Regiment. And they're just bad to the bone dudes and we really respect them. So Steve actually started that due to an injury as well, just from a lot of the missions that he's been on and jumping out of planes. And he broke his back twice and had to come back and do rehab. A friend of his, if I have the story straight, introduced him to the Olympic lifting side of things and CrossFit, and just said it was a really great combination of everything. So that's how SOAR came about. And then, you know, a couple years later, Dave saw an ad that they were looking for a new trainer, and he just did such a great job running the business that, you know, he had the opportunity to become a partner, and he took that. You know, he was a teacher for 7 years working with autistic children. So it was a really big change, but, you know, he was always such a great communicator with children and people that I really think that teaching transferred to owning a gym, owning and running a gym.
Got it. So he was teaching, but also coaching on the side. And then you guys basically partnered up with Steve, and then he quit the teaching gig.
Yeah, exactly. So at that time I was working at a high school and coaching track and field.
Yep.
So I was able to support us financially during that transition. And I continued to do that for years. And I actually didn't get involved until maybe another, like, I don't know, 2 or 3 years after he started the CrossFit gym, which was kind of interesting.
Got it. Very cool.
So, yeah. So I love when people come in and they're like, hey, you don't understand. I really don't like CrossFit. I'm like, oh, no, I really do understand. Trust me. It's a little embarrassing to share, but I think I can relate to you.
I love it. So, yeah. Because of your background, you know, I'm not going to take too much more of your time, but I did think, if we could talk about a little bit about the fitness pillar, I think would be really cool. So, what is it about BirthFit fitness pillar? What is it about that pillar that you would want people to know? I guess so big picture, but specifically about the fitness pillar.
That is a great question, Chris.
I'm making you think, Nest.
Yeah, no, you're good at this. This is awesome. My mind kind of went in two directions while you were asking that. The first thing that really popped into my mind was actually mindset, believe it or not.
Sure.
So that's one of the other pillars.
Yeah.
And
you can talk about that. Yeah.
If you'd asked me this question when I was first getting involved, I would have said like all the fitness right away.
Yeah.
But it's kind of cool. Just I've been really working hard in developing my mindset and my approach to fitness. And because, you know, everything starts, you know, in our mind and how we approach life, right? So I think taking that into the fitness realm is really important as well. So I don't actually begin my fitness without working on my breathing, right? And calming my mind and being present and being focused. And I think my training sessions have become so much better. I used to not be really big on Olympic lifts. Like I said, I'm a runner. I loved all things body weight and gymnastics, but now working on my breathing and my core, you know, for me personally, just developing my core and my stabilization has helped me heal and continue to heal from my past injuries. It's also made me calm and confident. And I move better, right? And I think that's the goal. It's like, we want to make sure we keep a really high standard of movement and stabilization and not move like crap, to be quite frank with you. So when you apply that mindset to the fitness portion, it just elevates your standard altogether, right? You just have a better foundation. So that was my first, like, reaction when you said that. It was that mindset aspect of things and going into movement with an intent, not just going in recklessly. Although, is there a time and a place for that? I'm sure people would argue that maybe competition is a time to like completely just go. For example, in the running realm, sometimes you just have to tell people like, I just need you to go hard, go with heart, right? I don't want you to think so much. But when you're in practice, when you're training, it's important to just move with intent, move well, breathe through the movements, and sometimes slow them down. right? Not move with so much craziness and intensity, especially working with moms. A lot of times I have to, you know, help them notice what their body is doing, be conscious of how they're moving, and bring that awareness and help them connect to their bodies. So I think, you know, maybe the next word when it comes to fitness would be connection. Letting people know, like, hey, everything's connected. What you do in breathing will help you with, you know, your squat, which will help you with your gymnastics, which will help you with running. It's all connected. It all transfers. So I think sometimes we need to, my husband always says you need to slow down to speed up sometimes. And I think that's true.
Yeah. I remember at the coaches seminar, we were talking about how mindset, even though it's a pillar, it's kind of like the underlying, the overarching pillar, because if you don't start with mindset, then the others might not be in the right place. So having the right mindset from the start obviously is important.
I think it's huge. It's everything. You know, with working with athletes, I became a better coach when I had my athletes pause and work on visualization and breathing, which is a big part of mindset. And I had them think about what they were going to do and execute it very well in their mind before they actually did it. I also had them speak certain things out loud, which, you know, feels really stupid at first. And I said, you know what, try to prove me wrong. I want you to say these things. I want you to speak well about yourself. And it's really cool to see how that is able, we've been able to transfer that into Birth Fit. We have our moms, you know, talk about mantras and what they say about themselves. It's just that whole psychological aspect is huge. And speaking well about yourself, thinking well about yourself. You know, we always start all of our sessions with breathing, and it's just great. You know, sometimes they come in with so much on their mind, you know, coming into a gym or a Birth Fit class, it might be the first time where they've actually had time to themselves or time to slow down. So allowing them to be in that space and release all the worries and anxieties helps them have a better training session. You know, I really think they receive so much more when we start off with the right mindset.
Do you feel like you are hard on yourself? I feel like you are.
Can you see me? I'm nodding my head.
Yeah, I'm nodding my head. I feel like you are. I feel like everyone is to a point. But I definitely feel like women tend to be extremely hard on themselves.
Yeah, if you're asking me, the answer is yes, for sure. I think too, when you're maybe, you know, type A personality, you're a go-getter, you want to be better than you were yesterday. If that's you, that it doesn't matter what personality you are. I think by sheer fact that you want to be better, you do more, or you put more pressure on yourself, right? Especially if you're a mom and you have all these other responsibilities, you try to wear so many hats. And I think as a coach, as a trainer, as a big sister, as an aunt, one of the things that I try to do more often than not is I'm a pressure releaser. So I kind of picture myself as a person who releases pressure from other people. I'm an encourager. I'm someone who reminds them of things that they already know. Honestly, like a lot of times women that come in here, they've already done their research. Not all of them, but a lot of them come in here. They're educated women. They're so inspiring. Some of them are just like so successful. It's amazing. And at first, you know, it can be very intimidating because it's like, well, what can I offer these women? Like what more do they need? But they might need reminders, like simple reminders, like, hey, you're doing a great job. You're doing awesome. Like you're going to be okay. A lot of times most moms just want to hear that. You know, I can't even tell you how many training sessions have turned from like, I have a whole list of things that I want to get through with mom. And, it turns into a walking session, like just allowing her to speak and share and just be there. And, you know, those have been some of the most impactful classes that we've had where mom can just be herself, not feel judged, and let go, right? Let go of all of those anxieties and worries and fears, you know, trying to be perfect, trying to be all things to all people. Yeah, I think that's one of the things that we don't always talk about right out of the gate. When you see, like, you know, birth fit postpartum series, you don't hear all of that right out of the gate. But once you come in through the door, you know, hopefully that they'll, you know, they'll experience that. It's just super transforming. It's awesome.
And that goes back to actually how we started talking in terms of the tribe. And, you know, mom is so focused on everyone else because she's wearing so many hats and taking care of everyone else. And then baby's around. And so everyone's focused on baby. And then who's focusing on mom, right?
Exactly. So, yeah. It's like, you know, that people used to say, what was that saying? What about Bob? I always say, like, what about mom?
What about mom?
You know, yeah. What about mom? And you could even say, what about dad too? You know, but mom is such a integral part of the family unit, right. And making sure that everyone is fed, taken care of, healthy, not starving. You know, but what about mom? Moms have a tendency to put themselves last. I spoke to another woman who, wasn't getting enough calories, and she didn't realize how much that affects, you know, her energy, her sleep, breastfeeding, you know, marital status. That's something we don't talk about enough, is what happens to marriages postpartum, right? And we're starting to talk about those resources and birth it as well. And we have some great resources for that, and postpartum counselors. All those things can revolve around mom and making sure that she is recovering. So that's where that tribe is so important, you know, and I don't think we realize how important the tribe is and how much we really do need each other. Even running a successful CrossFit gym, like, you know, we're part of another tribe of, like, you know, yourself just like masterminding with other owners and saying, hey, like, I'm thinking of doing this. Like, what are y'all's experiences with this? Like, you know, you don't always have to reinvent the wheel. You can lean on others' experiences and just say, what would you do here? Right. I think that's wisdom. Or even better, it's, I need help. You know, just saying that, vocalizing that for some moms can be really, really difficult, especially if they consider themselves a successful, strong, independent type A woman. Those are, you know, I love working with all women, but I love working with, just women who have that personality as well. I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. You know, I can really relate to them. So, just creating that safe space for everyone is, I think, really important. And just letting them know that they have a support group, just breaks down a lot of walls.
Yeah. Well, I think part of the problem, moms or not, is that, people might think success means not asking for help. Right.
Yeah.
Where,
for sure.
You know, how Lindsay encourages, and we all realize, or a lot of us are coming around to the idea that failure is actually a good thing because it allows us to at least try something and then pivot if we need to. So the idea that, like, perfection is this goal where really it's all a journey. It's not like a destination, right?
I totally agree with that. You know, too, though, like, I do think that even if you are in search of perfection, at least you're in search of, right? Like, you're on a path.
Yeah.
So eventually, you know, I think if you just keep searching, keep seeking, you will run into the right people or the right opportunities or the right resources that will basically put a mirror in front of you and to tell you, hey, you don't have to be perfect. I think that I'm one of those people, you know, you don't have to be perfect. It is okay to fail, quote unquote, right? And to, as I've read in some books, like, to fail forward and to ask for help, you know? So even if you are that perfectionist mentality, like, I can't ask for help, because we do have a lot of those personalities walk through our doors here. One thing I've recently realized is that, hey, they're searching, and that's how they came upon BirthFit New Jersey, right? That's how they came upon BirthFit and found out that we're, you know, in the tri-state area, and they decided to reach out. Some people don't necessarily ask for help. They want to get more information. And so, it's all part of, like what you said, it's all part of that journey. And then over time, you know, you just hope that you realize, like, hey, it's okay to have other people in your life. And I can't even tell you how many women don't necessarily have a tribe. Like I had someone some weeks ago tell me, you know, she doesn't have a mother figure and she just moved from Florida. So all her tribe is in Florida. You know, she doesn't have anyone up here. And so I, you know, we talked about this earlier when people email me, I take that pretty serious because they may not have anybody. And, you know, if I ever, you know, God forbid, if it's someone, if it's myself or someone in my family or someone that I love that is in that situation, I would just pray that someone reaches out to them and says, hey, I'm in your corner. Like I might not have all the answers, but I'm in your corner. I can be a friend. I think that is huge. So, yeah, if you or anybody, you know, just maybe is in need of support or a friend or just, you know, reach out to BirthFit. It's amazing. I know Lindsay gets, I can't even imagine, but so many emails in a day. And, she's really great about forwarding that to the appropriate people, within the city that they're in. And if she doesn't know someone, then we'll go to the BirthFit tribe and we'll ask around like, hey, do you know any chiropractors in Philadelphia? Do you know anybody in Orlando? Like, who do we know that can be a support to this mom, this mama, and this baby, this family, in this region? So that's one of the greatest things about this tribe and this community. And, I just love that it's growing.
That's awesome. And I agree. Your role as a regional director, talk about that. Like, what is your role? Let's get into like who would be coming to you. If people are listening to this that are near you in, Hawthorne, New Jersey, or anywhere near there, they can, you know, get in touch with you, you know, like who would you be working with? What are their goals? Like, is it just CrossFitters? Is it not CrossFitter? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So, as a regional director, what I run is I run a series. I run multiple series here. I run a postpartum series and a prenatal series. And those are really fun because, you know, it's educational. It's all the pillars that we talked about. It's the fitness, the mindset, the chiropractic and nutrition. I can have guest speakers and resources here at my gym and or in other gyms or other studios. One of the things that I personally have been working on is getting into different kinds of fitness studios, right? Whether that's CrossFit or yoga, Pilates, you know, Orange Theory, ballet studios. I want to get into all of it, right? Martial arts. You know, recently I've been working with quite a few women in the military. So that is just, we've been working with Air Force recruits here as well. So that is another area. But one thing I'm realizing is, you know, everyone needs core work, breath work, pelvic floor work, because we all have a core, right? We all breathe, and we can all be better in this area. So, so I run a series, I run different classes. I can bring on BirthFit coaches to help me with these classes and these series, as well as do consultations and workshops. I like workshops as well because I can travel to different areas. Like, right, I'm gonna be coming to your gym, CrossFit Kana, and sharing this information with people that may not otherwise be able to take a long trip out to Hawthorne and come on a regular basis. But, you know, allowing people to come to your gym and say, hey, this is a great resource. If you guys need a tribe, right, or a community, come to CrossFit Kana. Come to Chris and his staff. They can help you. I just, you know, that's like a little it's like a lighthouse. Like there's different lighthouses that you can go to,
like
to feel safe for that safety. Yeah. So that's part of what I do. You know, I think regional directors also have a responsibility to continue to be involved and be in their community and just be leaders in their community, as well as to constantly learn and research. I think this is something we should all do anyways. Not everybody wants that responsibility, but, just to be leaders in that as well, to continuously grow ourselves, you know, help our communities and surround ourselves with these, with just great resources and be able to help people. Because that's really, truly what it comes down to. We're here to serve other people, right? I think that's a huge, such a huge responsibility, especially when it comes to helping families. Right. So I'm really honored that I get to do that. Sometimes I'm like, I can't believe I'm doing this. And it's really, truly humbling. A lot of times when I'm coaching or teaching a class or a workshop, I feel like I get more out of it than the people that I'm working with. Just people are so open and transparent, and the people that go to these workshops and series, they really do want to get better and they really do want to change. And a lot of times you never know, like something could be birthed in them to want to also help the community and grow this. So I definitely want to make sure that wherever I go, I'm just a great, representation for not just for BirthFit, but for CrossFit and CrossFit SOAR, CrossFit as a whole, and just as a human, right? That's what I try to be. So
a lighthouse.
Yeah, lighthouse. Yeah, be a lighthouse. Be a light in dark places.
I like that. I picked up on that when I first walked in. You had greeted me for the coaches seminar, and you were like super present. You were like super honed in on listening, which a lot of people, you know, don't do because they just want to get the formalities out of the way and kind of move on.
Thank you. Yeah, I've been working on that. I wasn't always like that, Chris.
So
thank you.
Yeah, so I only have two things, and this is one of them. So one of them is being present. So because we had talked last week trying to set this up, and you were heading off to your sister's wedding, your baby sister's wedding.
Yes.
And you wanted to be there and get down there a little early and be very present. So how are you working on that? Like, what are some tactical things that you're doing to be more present?
Oh, wow. That's probably one of the my favorite questions I've ever been asked, because it is such a big area of growth. It's an area that I don't feel that I've arrived by any means, and I don't feel that I'm really that great at, to be honest with you. So the fact that you said I'm present is just like, makes my heart like totally explode. You know, we're always in such a rush, and sometimes being present comes from pain. And you know, to be honest, last year I lost my sister-in-law, and it was really hard. It was a lot harder, not that I expected it. It was just so much harder than you could ever imagine. And, you know, she was 41, and left behind an amazing husband and two children. And I tried to put myself in those shoes and you know, just losing someone so close to me, which I have before. And it was super painful, but it made me be aware. It like brings so much awareness to you and aware of how busy I was. I was so busy, Chris. I just, you know, I got up at 5. I commuted an hour. I worked for 8 hours. I went right into coaching for another, 3 to 4 hours. I commuted home another hour. I took a class or I coached for another hour. And then I came home and I ate. And I was not there. I was not present. I wasn't developing relationships. My marriage was not great. I was like, what am I doing? I was like pretending, right? And so, I decided to stop. You know, I wasn't fully healthy as I should have been. So this year, earlier in 2017, I just let it go. And I said, well, I would like to, you know, be full time and helping people and, you know, at our CrossFit gym and BirthFit. And part of that journey was learning how to be an entrepreneur, how to be present. And, I learned that I really sucked at it. I was always on the go. I'm one of those people like my way or the highway, like I'm always moving somewhere. Right. But I needed to learn how to slow down. Not to mention I hated walking, because why would you walk when you can run? Right. I was like, I need to get there. So I'm going to run really fast and get there. Which is probably why, you know, I like running. So I say all that. I know, right? I wish people could see us. They're laughing. That was a good belly laugh. So I needed to learn how to not just walk, but literally stop and breathe. So the breathing exercises through BirthFit, force me to breathe and to literally stop what I was doing. But what's cool is because I started breathing more, I started thinking more and just having more clarity to all these questions that I had. So I started spending more time, instead of waking up and looking at my phone, I would wake up and start praying, right? And just be thankful. I would thank God for the day. I would thank God for my family and just go through a list of things that I was grateful for. I would put good stuff in me. I, you know, shut off the news. I don't watch the news anymore. I just started watching and reading things that are positive. And some people say, you know, well, you're just living in a bubble. And I'm like, yeah, that's right. I like my bubble and I'm going to stay in that bubble. I'd rather spread good than not good. What's really neat is how things have, you know, started off kind of rough, but relationships have blossomed. I've been able to really invest in other people, including, you know, my own marriage. I just realized that I wasn't always present. I was in my phone or answering a question, or my mind was always somewhere else. So for anyone that's in that position, which I think is a lot of people, especially in the tri-state area, especially anywhere, but I would say, you know, people in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, we move really fast and we speak fast. We do all things fast. So helping moms when they walk through our doors understand, like, hey, I'm going to ask you to do some things that might be uncomfortable, like slowing down, like breathing, is huge. You know, this has led me to yoga. I do practice yoga a couple times a week now. I'd like to practice more, and I have some friends that have really gotten me into that, and we introduce that at our gym now. So we do yoga here 2 times a week, and it's just really cool helping our members practice just being more mindful, being more connected to their bodies. And so this movement started off with just like one mom, has really greatly influenced everything at our gym. And it's just amazing, like the ripple effects on how other people are just experiencing more presence and more health, you know, within themselves, but within their families as well. So that is something that I didn't foresee happening. I'm really thankful that it's happened, and you know, and you have to protect that. Once you experience that, it can be really hard. I could just sleep in an extra hour, but working on, I had someone challenge me recently to wake up an extra hour earlier and just not even to do anything, but just to be present and be mindful and just start to walk and move and flow. And, I would say that's probably it. I have a lot more that I want to explore in that area. I'd like to take some breathing courses and some, recovery courses. One of the things that's been really cool as a running coach, how much this has helped, not just me running personally, but my clients, we've gone to a whole new level of breathing and recovering while running. Especially we're in marathon season right now. I incorporate that into my programs and my training now. And it's just really so awesome to see anywhere, all ages. Just, I have a high school athlete who's just crushing it. And the main thing we've worked on is slowing it down and breathing, you know, diaphragmatic breathing. So, yeah, thank you for asking that.
So what time do you get up?
Now I'm getting up between, I would say anywhere from like 6:45 to 7:45. Yeah. So I used to get up, I used to wake up at 5 every day for, I don't know, 9+ years, 6 times a week. And it was just nice to sleep in for a while, but it made me lazy, right? And I felt like I was missing my day. Gotcha. So, it's just great to be able to wake up earlier now. So
yeah. Well, you had said 5 earlier. And so then when you said an hour earlier than that, I was like, oh, she's getting up at 4 every day.
No. No, I woke up at 5 when I was working my full-time job. Yeah, and then okay. I started sleeping in till like 9, 10 and just not really doing anything. Okay. And partly in my defense, it's because I didn't know what to do as working, you know, someone who went from like 9 to 5 to, entrepreneur and running your own time. I will be completely transparent and say that it was not, and still is not easy. So being disciplined with your time includes being disciplined with your sleep and being disciplined with when you wake up. So learning all about that. Yeah. And it's been, it's been some tough lessons, a lot of discipline, but some of the best lessons I've ever learned.
Are you pumped for Shalane Flanagan?
Oh my gosh, yes. Did you see all my posts?
I actually didn't, yeah. But I mean, I saw the news, so.
I thought you were referring to, I just put up a post. Shalane was my one of my biggest high school rivals.
Oh, really? Oh, that's really funny.
Yeah, so I'm from Swampscott. She's from Marblehead.
Oh, okay.
Our high schools are huge rivals. They still are. And so we are the same year. We graduated the same year. Yeah. So I've been competing. Yeah, I competed against her for some time.
Oh,
and,
my goodness.
She was just amazing to watch. I know her family. You know, I was her brother and sister's camp counselor for a handful of years. So it's just been really cool to see how much she has grown and, you know, even her own mindset. She was pretty much like she ran with reckless abandonment in high school to the point where literally her body would shut down like 20 meters before the finish line. But she could crawl and still win.
Yeah,
I mean, that's how far ahead of us she was.
Right.
You know, if you had to put her in the men's championship, state championship, she would have come in the top 10 most of the time.
Oh,
so, yeah. So a lot of people don't know that about her, but she's just like a fierce competitor and she's overcome a ton of obstacles. So I've loved watching her mature as an athlete and just also working on her mindset. You know, I follow her pretty closely, probably more so than some just because of our background. But
I did not know a lot about her.
For sports.
Yeah, she had gotten injured, a year ago or so?
Yeah.
And then came back.
You know, I think you don't really know what kind of athlete you are until you get injured. And so just having, you know, competed at like a little bit of a higher level, it takes so much. It's a lot of grit. It's a lot of mindset.
Yeah.
So it's just so awesome. It shows like how much stronger she is mentally to you know, say no to one race so she could say yes to this type of success.
Right.
It's a big testament to her coaches and her staff as well. So, yeah, of course I was stoked. I put it all over my
That's
social
funny.
Media.
I did not see that from you. No, I asked simply because I know that you're obviously running coach and runner. And no, I had no clue. That's funny.
Oh, it's so great. It's huge for American distance running, for marathoning, Team USA.
Right.
Like super excited. I could talk about that for a while.
Yeah.
That's another podcast.
What's last question is what's on your bucket list?
Ooh. Well, the first is rest, taking some time away, to be honest, like a vacation.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say that that's probably number one after all the weddings and the schedule that I've put myself through. And
to where? Give me a location.
The number one place I'd like to go to is Hawaii.
Nice.
And so I just, you know, kept putting it off. I'm like, no, it's too expensive. It's too this. I have so many other things to do. But you know what? It's been on the back of my mind. I was just making excuses. And you know, when you think of something, you all of a sudden start attracting it to yourself. So all I keep seeing everywhere is literally Hawaii. So instead of making excuses, I'm making plans and just being smart with our budget. And I would really like to go there. We were, you know, talking about our own family and, you know, starting that. So that's, you know, a pretty big deal.
Cool.
And like you were talking about, it's just being more present. You know, I do like to plan. I'm a huge planner. I'm a big list maker. I have some big goals, but I'm learning how to go with the flow more and just prioritize my time wisely. So we have some big plans in the works for our gym. We have been working on some running seminars as well as helping the Birth Fit community, some really awesome programs coming down the pike with moms and running. So so some really awesome projects. Getting comfortable in front of a video camera, that's totally out of my comfort zone, which is of course why I'm doing it. And I just plan on taking a lot of risks and making some big mistakes and receiving all the feedback and just surrounding myself with some really cool people in the process. So yeah, that's the bucket list. That's the plan. So,
and you're coming down here, in a couple weeks. December 3rd.
December 3rd.
We're gonna do a little birth fit workshop.
So excited about that.
Yeah. Our members are super pumped, and then I put it out there to other other boxes, so we'll see. I think we're going to sell out once we get that link, but yeah.
I'm so excited. You know, I've like worked with some individuals from PA, but I've never done a workshop there.
Yeah.
So, you know, excited to spread into Pennsylvania. It's like into everywhere, but it's just been, you know, I always look at PA as part of like the trifecta, you know, like New York, New Jersey, yeah. PA. Right. And so, you know, it's cool. I'm super thankful for you. You know, you're one of the few guys at the CrossFit coaches. I'm sorry, the BirthFit coaches seminar. And so it's so cool that you support this movement and you support women. I know, you know, you have a family of your own. So I have to say, dude, it's just like really, really refreshing. And we're just so grateful for guys like you that are supportive of this movement. I actually think that this is, you know, in years to come, that having more involvement by guys like you and gym owners and people that are just, you know, in that growth mentality is going to be so amazing. So, yeah, when you were like, hey, let's do something here, I'm like, let's do this.
Yeah.
And I want to encourage more people to do that. And, you know, one thing I'm definitely going to do is edify you and your gym and hope that it grows from the workshop and that women feel comfortable, families feel comfortable walking into that gym because they know, you know, we're just have that, the same values and right. the same goals.
Right.
So I'm excited about that.
Yeah. Well, as far as, if I had to put money on it, I would say that, humans will still continue giving birth,
for sure.
And, hopefully still moving. But definitely yep. the first one at least. So if we could, educate, everyone on some best practices, I think that would be cool. So, yeah.
Yeah, that is good stuff. Yeah. So I want to make sure to thank you for just being so open-minded on, behalf of Dave and I and the whole BirthFit team. We're excited about
all that you're doing there. I mean, at a bunch of CrossFit gyms, they'll say, you know, there's something in the water because there's at any point, you know, 4 or 5 pregnant women, like all the time on a rotating sure. basis.
And it's starting to get more attention too.
Yeah. So like, you know, let's make sure that everyone is safe, not in a, we need to wrap them in bubble wrap, but in a,
right.
you know, some best practices with, keeping that core nice and strong. For the hardest workout of their life, and you know,
for sure. We didn't get into that, but I think we're going to start to attract even more like Olympic lifters and runners and people from all walks of life. Like you know, with pelvic floor work, like I've been working with more Olympic lifters, and it's like, hey, you don't need to necessarily have a baby to work with someone that can help you get your core strong.
Right.
So it's just. But you know what? It's so awesome, especially with the women who I do work with. Like, hey, let's get your core strong. Let's get you breathing and moving better. And, you know, someday when they decide, if they decide to have a family or go into the motherhood transition, I know it's going to be beneficial. And it's just like so exciting, you know, to talk about this stuff, even at like the high school level, you know, just starting young. And I think that's where this movement is going. It's not just going to be in gyms. Eventually it's going to be in schools. It's going to be, all over the place. So I'm excited to just be a part of that movement, you know?
Yeah.
And you're a part of it too.
I love it. So where can people find you, on the interwebs or, you know, if they wanted to, if they are local to you, they want to look you up or they want to get in touch with you. They want to see a website, all that good stuff.
Yeah, for sure, man. They can go to, BirthFitNJ.com. That stands for BirthFit New Jersey. And, you know, we used to be BirthFit Hawthorne. We rebranded very recently, but I check all the things, all the emails. BirthFitNJ.com. And all my contact information is on there, our services, our classes. And, you know, feel free to reach out to me anytime. And like I said, if I don't have the answer, I can find someone who does.
Cool. So,
yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Hey, folks. Thanks again for listening to CrossFit Connor Radio. If you like what you heard, head over to iTunes and give us a 5-star rating and leave us a review, which helps us get found on the interwebs. Also, head over to social media, find us on Facebook and Instagram at CrossFit Kanna, K-A-N-N-A. And if you have any questions for the podcast, email us at info@crossfitkanna.com. Thanks and have a great day.